Hi, and welcome to our another episode of Soul Velocity in the series of Verse and Voices, 100 Authors, Countless Narratives. We have been speaking to individuals and people who have been in the industry of writing, publishing, editing, and also creativity, who bring in their voice through either writing or by speaking where words are involved. In the series today, I do have a special guest with me. This special guest I'm actually meeting for the first time and having a face-to-face conversation for the first time. However, I've been working with her for over a year now, and the journey has been amazing. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Divya Dubey. She is a freelance book editor, reviewer, and a writer. She edits fiction and nonfiction books for adults as well as children. And now you know how I know her and how we have been working together. She's also been a part of Indian publishing industry for over 20 years. Okay, she's a former publisher of Gyana Books, her own publishing firm that published both literary and commercial fiction from 2009 to up to 2013. She's also a former publisher and editor-in-chief in Earthen Lamp Journal, an international literary ISIN from India, 2013 to 2018. She was also the finalist for the British Council Young Creative Entrepreneur Award in publishing 2010. Divya has reviewed fiction and nonfiction and occasionally done author interviews for India Today, India Today Magazine, Hindustan Times, Life Mint, Biblio, and so on, which is in India, the Asian Review of Books, which is Hong Kong, and some of them have been republished by the Asian Writer UK, the Asian Literary Review, which is in Hong Kong, and Kitab Singapore. She also has been reviewed by Basafri in UK, the New York Journal of Books, US, and the India Current magazines. There is a lot more that we are going to learn and talk about her. There have been publications about her, and we're going to know a lot more from her, and her book links, her all the information is going to be there right here. So let's jump or deep dive into the conversation with Divya, who brings in nearly all aspects of ideation to publishing the book. So Divya, first of all, thank you so much for being here and being a part of this series and of Verse and Voices, and you know, voicing your opinion and telling us and enlightening us, to be very honest. So yes, Divya, how let's begin with, how did this begin for you? How come you chose this as your profession? Did it happen? You chose it?
Thank you, Sneha, first for inviting me for this. And it began very long ago, actually. I was still in school, in primary school, when I decided I wanted to be an editor. Of course, at that time, I didn't know what kind of an editor I wanted to be. I just wanted to do editing. And much later, you know, when I was actually doing college and had finished my graduation, that I decided that I wanted to be a book editor. And that was when I had spent a year of studying journalism. And I knew that that was not where I wanted to be. So it was the world of books, finally. Yeah.
So in your this journey, okay, it has been over 2 decades when it comes to, you know, you professionally working in the field and then choosing to be a writer as well, while to be a writer and choosing to also be an editor. So, you know, how are these two worlds similar or different for you? Because for a person like me, I would just write and then I genuinely need somebody else to give it voice and shape. Okay.
Right.
That's the kind of writer I am. But you're playing into both roles of someone who is creating and someone who is also shaping it. So how does that work for you?
See, I was an editor first, so I knew the technicalities. And I began not as a trade book publisher, but as an educational, you know, in the educational field. So I learned the technicalities first. And, you know, like all people are as children, when you're into reading and writing, you are writers anyway. So I never looked at it as something I wanted to be. I was a writer. not a professional writer as such, but I was a writer anyway, like most people are. And that has been the case throughout. So I have, at that time, I did not know what professional writing was, what having a voice meant, what so many technical terms mean. And it's difficult when you are in the field and you learn these things late, but anyway, you learn them anyway. So yes, my writing has changed a lot since then. And as a writer, you keep growing and evolving and learning. Of course, things have changed a lot in the last 10 years. Even after I wound up Gyana Books, things have changed a lot. More with technology and AI coming in, the game has changed completely now. So it used to be a lot different then, but yes, now things are very, very different.
I would
And
want to touch base on AI as well, because that is, I think, a question
yeah.
that many writers today have, that with AI coming in, is there that form of originality I don't know. I think there are a lot of fears associated with it as well, in terms
yes.
of authenticity, in terms of is this really what I want to say, or is this what has been understood by the AI and reframing it for me? So what is your take on it, and how is it changing the industry?
People are losing jobs to it. I have already lost projects to AI, to be very honest, because, it's a matter of convenience. And there are some people, some publishers who prefer to cut costs. So editors don't mean much to them. And they don't really bother about what a particular person can bring in to the edits. It doesn't matter whether it's a big project or a small project. And the whole point of creativity, originality, some people might say that there is no such thing as an original idea. They're all derivative. But even then, the whole point of being human, the whole point of being creative is, the whole uniqueness of a human being is in being imperfect. Your imperfections are what make you human. It's those things that really count. So whether or not you are truly original, you are still yourself. You still have, your trademark qualities, traits, and that is what you bring into your writing. What AI is doing is simply regurgitating whatever has been fed into it. So it is not something that I look on with a great deal of respect or anything. Yes, it can be helpful when you're doing some work. It can give you guidance, maybe. But still, you need to do your hard work. You can't just, cut corners and get away with shortcuts, which
No,
is...
I think that the only thing
yeah.
that differentiated us as humans from any other animal was
yeah.
the ability to think.
Exactly.
And right
yeah.
now, kind of handing that also over to something
yeah.
else, which is again automated. And as you said, maybe with so many centuries that have gone, there might not be an original idea, but there is definitely a perspective. Okay, and
yeah.
that perspective in my vocabulary, according to my choice of words, means something different than me asking AI to then reword it, and then it uses words which I regularly forget, otherwise wouldn't use it as well. It is something that may just not be a natural flow of me, and yet that is what it has become today.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I felt that pinch as well, when initially Amazon started approving books that were designed by AI, because suddenly there was a drop in number of clients saying, oh, we'll just get it done. And I'm like, yeah, but you still need to have that clarity of what exactly do you really want? Yes, the job can be done, but who is really reviewing it? And who are you reviewing it against? Because AI is not reading your book, it's humans who are going to read it. Okay, so you're... end result, the people who are actually involved, or your buyers are still humans. So sorry, I got a little diverted, but I think somewhere AI is a little touchy topic right now for people who
True.
want to keep their authenticity and keep their voice alive and make it reach more people. It's interesting to see artificial intelligence having opinions as well. And that's something, again, as humans, we had an ability to do, and it is now somebody else as well. But yeah, nevertheless, okay, let's talk about some stuff which I feel is one of the most challenging journeys for me as a publisher at times, is the editing journey. Okay, and then I'm going to jump to the publishing as well, as I want to talk about your book as well. How do you address it? Like, I'm still the mediator, okay? I get the book, I connect author and the editor, and then the journey of sculpting the book actually happens, okay? And while you're sculpting it, of course, it's going to be painful, it's going to have harsh feeling at times that I felt so amazing about this, and this is the one that is not getting right response or so on. How do you deal with authors? Okay, what is your first take on this? Are authors really open? Because I sometimes find that certain authors or a huge percentage of authors are not really open towards feedback for their own write-up at times. So what do you think? Or what is your
See
experience?
the idea or the concept or the definition of writers has changed a lot now. For the last so many years, almost everybody has been writing a book. So, which is not how it used to be earlier. And it was not like that even when I was publishing, even at that time, up to that time, there were people who were genuinely interested in writing, who could write, who had something to say, and who knew how to say it. So that, fortunately for me, I would say that most of my authors have had a fantastic rapport with me over the years. They have come back again and again. I have done several projects with them. So it is a relationship you build over time. A lot of it has to do with how you gel your perspectives, how well they gel, and how well you can convince them about the changes you're making to their manuscript and whether that makes sense to them. And I have realize that if you explain something to them, if you explain why you're making a certain change or you're suggesting something, they're open. Usually they are. The problems happen when people are more egoistical in a sense. They are not open, not just to you, but in general. They feel they're being attacked. So it's an immature approach and not something I come across too often, fortunately. But yeah, I would say the older people, the experienced people, are true writers are the more mature lot, who don't have such issues usually. So I mean, some people might disagree with that. Because some very well-established writers have the same problem. They don't like changes made to their works either. But I think it's a relationship between two people, a rapport like you have with your doctor or with your lawyer, that kind of rapport. So.
But don't you think the end result does get affected if the author actually doesn't take the feedback?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's you have to convince them that you're working towards the same goal. You want to get a good book out. And after that, it's up to them how well they respond to you and how well they understand the work you're doing and how it's making their book better or more accessible to the reader. So yeah, some people do resist in spite of that, but not too many in my case. So,
Beautiful. So, what is again your suggestion or your opinion when it comes to beta readings? Should an author, whether fiction or non-fiction, get their book reviewed before it moves to editing, or should it be reviewed after editing? What do you recommend? Because you see, many authors, they write and they just send it across. At times, it has not been reviewed. They haven't even taken a second opinion before they have decided to publish it. What's your take on it?
I think the writer has every right to write what they want to write and send it across for publishing. And all kinds of writers find their kind of audience or their kind of readers. The problem with beta readers is you have one person's opinion. You know, there are millions out there. So it's the same as one editor reading the same story. You read as an editor and you read as a reader. So there are so many people now, there are so many stories, but of course, J.K. Rowling is one big example of how so many editors turned down her work, and yet it proved to be something that was widely accepted by readers the world over. So it can be very, very misleading, and it's very subjective. I mean, you can't even say that those editors were wrong. They just did not like what they read.
Absolutely. I
So
think it's important to
yeah.
have an ideal client for even beta reader. Like if you have chosen a beta reader, that person has
Yeah.
to be the person you've written the book for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
So.
Interesting. And I think see, this is where, I feel at times authors are not doing their homework. They're writing the book, but then everything else is just going by, read an article, find somebody. Okay, I just need a beta reader. But is that beta reader right? Is that reviewer right for me? Is that editor right for me? I think these are the things that need a little bit of work. And if that is done well, the book also travels way farther than what it is on or whatever journey it is on. All right, coming to your choices. You do both fiction and non-fiction, which is a very rare, ability when it comes to both writing as well as editing. So what is your preference? What do you enjoy more? Is it fiction?
I do fiction, I do non-fiction, I do adults, I do children's, I do trade, I do educational, I do school books, I do higher ed, I do all sorts of things. Now, if you speak to the publishing world, they will say this should not be done at all. And this is a very checkered career. And I strongly disagree with that, because every one of these things has given me some other skill. So it is, I would not say that you should be the jack of all trades and the master of none, but I would certainly say you should be the jack of all trades and the master of at least one. So you should, these the more you are exposed to different kinds of work, the different kinds of writing, the more you gain. And you can always switch from one to the other. Especially as a freelancer, it helps. And yeah, what I enjoy doing most is fiction, definitely. Adult as well as children's, I enjoy both. I enjoy fairy tales as much as I enjoy, literary novels or a Booker winner. So it's a little different in that sense. And I don't mind saying it, but to have a checkered career like this is sometimes a big advantage. All you need is an understanding of the levels you're doing and what is required in each field. That understanding is a necessity. So unless you have that, you can't make that switch easily. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love the way you framed it because yes, I personally believe, and there's this very recently I heard a TED talk which is also about the same topic, which is being a potentialist. Okay.
Yeah.
So individuals who there are two types of individuals, one who are specialists and
Yeah.
they know what they want and it's a very one way road for them, and they're okay with it because they love and do it with absolute
Whatever they're doing.
passion.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there are individuals who are like us, who are at least exploring every aspect that comes, or they want to enjoy and they move on. And I think that's where that synchronicity comes in, of innovation, of new things coming in. Because if everyone chooses to be a specialist, then they're mastering about something that already exists. And to create new combinations or collabs or two different things have to come together. And again, that's something that I know it's in today's social media world, especially, it is so important to have a niche. Everything should have a niche. Your book should have a niche. You should have a niche. Your business should have a niche. Everything has to come down to just one thing. And some of us don't fit into that. And I'm glad that you accept that about yourself. And I think there are so many listeners here who are going to be like, okay, so there's nothing wrong with me.
No, you have one life.
Exactly.
Please go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I
Absolutely.
totally believe in that.
So Divya, in your this journey, okay, now I come from a very self-publishing world, okay, and my knowledge is very limited when it comes to the mainstream publishing, okay, the only mainstream publishing, and because most of my audience here is Indian as well, my understanding of mainstream publishing is how Baagban movie worked, where Amitabh Bachchan wrote a story and then he left it and somebody picked it up and he started getting checks, and that's it. That's mainstream publishing for me, okay? So would you like to shed some light on how does it work? Any tips that you would like to give our audience today if they choose to go mainstream?
Indian publishing, mainstream publishing, what we understand at mainstream publishing is a very small world. It's a very small world of established publishers and writers and editors, and they are the ones who have been there for years, for decades, and who have established themselves through the work they have already done. So they have already created works that have proved their worth, that have proved as backlists in publishers' terms, but as long-lasting books that people remember long after having read them.
Sure.
And they have created authors who are well respected, not only in India but the world over. And the best international awards have, of course, also endorsed the kind of acceptance the Indian authors have abroad. So those are the kind of people who have created a space for themselves and a place for themselves. And they are also established because they have been through that grind. They have started from scratch. They are well educated. They have been through the whole process and learned the ropes, and they know the language. The problem today is that so many editors and publishers I come across don't even know the language that they are writing in or publishing. So if an editor doesn't know the language properly, he or she cannot obviously do justice to their work. And that is why the quality of what is being produced today has deteriorated greatly. It's the same thing with a lot of authors who don't want to do hard work. When you tell them to do something, when you tell them something requires work, they don't want to do it. I have seen so many people who come to me who say, we really want your input and we really want your opinion. They come to me not because they want that, but they just want me to clap for them.
True.
So now I have just stopped saying anything at all because I know that those words will not have any effect. They won't mean anything. True writers who really want to be writers, not just celebrities,
Sure.
they are the ones who are willing to put in that kind of work, even if it takes years. And those kinds are also there. I mean, they do exist. But of course, they are fewer in number, much fewer.
Of course,
So,
legends can't be many, right? Legends are many.
So they do go through that whole rigmarole and through the whole process, and grow and evolve with every story they write or every book they write.
I think everything at the end still goes down to a very simple input versus output, isn't it? Like, what is the amount of effort are you putting in now? What is the amount of effort? What is the amount of work that you're putting in now? The time that you're investing in it, the learning that you're going through. I think that eventually pays off. If so, it's as simple as that. And therefore, there are many people who are writing crazy amount of books. Okay, but the sales also kind of limited, and so is the travel journey of that book is also limited. There are certain books who don't see light even after 3 years of launching it, and which surprises me because 3 years is a very short duration to define if the book is going to be worldwide famous or not at times, because sometimes the book picks up later, okay, or sometimes it picks up after the second book has come in, and then the first book suddenly people realize, oh, this was written much better, but we just didn't know this person. Okay.
True.
But that patience, that delayed gratification, even as writers, I somewhere feel is evaporating in this new world. And while it bothers me, I totally agree, there is still an entire crew of people who want to go that slow, put in work, do the right thing. And it's not about just writing. I think it is about doing the justice to what you really want to put out there, who want to write because they love writing rather than being famous, as you very well put. And if the intent is set well, I think everything else just follows.
Absolutely.
In your journey of editing or publishing books, has there been any notable kissa or a notable incident that you would be able to share with us, something that has stayed with you as a either good learning or just a great experience, or someone who was an amazing or some book that was so amazing that it blew your mind? Any such thing stayed with you? I'm sure there are many. I'm just asking you to pick one of them right now.
No, I wouldn't say an incident as such, but while I have edited books for writers, some of them have let it develop as and when. So I did not have the entire manuscript in the beginning, and it took about a whole year or maybe more for it to complete. So I was with the author through that journey for a whole year. And they have come to me with all kinds of incidents in their lives, life-changing incidents, and how they affected them. And it also reflected in their writing. So to actually, see what the author was going through and to be able to help them articulate what they were going through was both a challenge and something that created a sense of wonder, how these authors were managing to do that
Incredible.
and actually putting that everything that they were going through in their work of fiction. Or whatever it was that they were trying to create. So that many times that is, you get personally involved in what the author is doing and in their personal lives, which is not a great idea many times, but sometimes yes, it creates a sort of bond. So
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that, because it's interesting how we're talking about while we're talking about a book that probably ended up being a fiction, was actually so inspired. And I totally believe that even if it's a fiction, it's always inspired by some true event somewhere. Something has happened which has created this world of thoughts for them. You have your own book, okay, which is amazing collection. Would you like to talk about that, Turtle Dove? And why Turtle Dove? Like, It's a very interesting name. How did that come to you?
It's turtle dove is actually a symbol of true love in literature. And this collection of short stories is pretty old. It happened in 2008, actually. And that was, I think, one of the darkest phases of my life. And it was written in about 2 months, the entire collection. So first it was published by Gyana Books. Then, of course, it was republished by Juggernaut and Readomania in 2016. And yes, it's it. I wouldn't say it's a brilliant collection because my writing was very different at that time.
Of course, it's
But
2008 you're talking about.
sorry,
I said, of course, it was 2008 that we're talking about, very initial phase of your journey.
So it was but that is what it was. It was a beginning of a journey, and it taught me a lot of things. I would say I have come a long way since then. So, yeah, I have not written anything in the recent times. I should be doing that. And I would say that to a lot of writers that it's not a good idea. Yeah, I would not recommend it for the other people. You should write as much as you can and every day if you can. That is what helps you evolve. Because writing changes a lot as you read. So many writers today, brazenly say that they don't read. And it's not a good thing at all. Because, one, if you don't read good books, you can't produce anything good. Two, if you don't read others, how can you expect others to read your works?
True.
So it is important in every sense to read. And it has helped me grow a lot as a writer, as an editor, just reading all kinds of books, all kinds of writers. So,
True. I somewhere so relate with that, because I do come across a lot of authors who say, I don't read at all, I just write. And I'm like, okay, and how's that working for you? Because if you're not reading, then who is reading you? And I think that's a basic, simple, universal law question. What you give is what you get. And most importantly, even in terms of me upgrading myself as an individual, in terms of my language pattern, in terms of understanding what, how to say certain things, I don't know. I so somewhat just agree with you there. So I'm just going to leave it at that and invite many of the listeners here to write and write regularly. If you have any tips on how can someone just get into writing regularly, because I think many a times writers hold themselves back saying, I want to write this. And this is the only writing topic I want to write about. And I think that at times just gets into the way, because if you could just write every day and then get to what topic you want to write, that actually works better, at least for me. Anything that you think works beautifully in terms of just writing every day.
I think it's very important to write down your thoughts. If something is disturbing you, if you're angry about something, if you're upset about something, make a diary entry. And that is the kind of writing that is best because that is how your feelings flow. That is how your thoughts flow. That is how you speak. And that is your voice. That makes your voice.
Right.
A lot of people sort of get what do I say? They prevent themselves or they, throw up obstacles for themselves because they have a lot of preconceived ideas about how writing should be. So they use big words and, they use a lot of passive voice and a lot of stilted language, and they think that, this is what writing should be. And that is not true at all. Writing should be simple and straightforward and straight from the heart. And of course, you will slowly learn how to polish it. So, but it has nothing to do with the big words or being verbose or any of that. So that is why I keep saying that reading is the best way to do it. Even if you don't feel inspired to write, just read, and some book or the other will inspire you to write.
Totally in agreement with that. Divya, you have spoken, and we have actually spoken about multiple things, right? From, editing to publishing to reviewing to your book, as well as fiction and nonfiction as well. Anything else that comes to your mind that you feel the audience needs today?
If they have any questions, they are most welcome to reach out. I think I have already said this: do not take shortcuts. Whether it is your own writing or AI or anything else, do not take shortcuts, because shortcuts will not give you any skills or knowledge.
True.
So if you really want to develop as a writer, you need to do all that hard work. You can't take the lift. You have to take the stairs. So,
Absolutely. And just to add to what Divya said, guys, you can actually respond to this episode by leaving us a question right here when you're listening to the episode. There's an option at the bottom of wherever you're listening to the podcast, where you can leave a review or a question, and we will be able to respond to that. So just leave a question, or I'm pretty sure as writers, we have so many doubts and questions that we have. And if you have an expert who has walked through every path, every section of the journey, and has helped others get through that journey as well, there wouldn't be a better person who can guide you or just fill in the blanks for something that is probably holding you. So feel free to leave voice note or type in the question to this episode. I'm so glad Spotify allows us to do that. So when you're listening to this, and even Apple allows us to do that. So just leave that question, okay? That's an option that has been selected where you can leave a review or a question, and we will definitely respond to you individually. Verses and Voices has been our journey, Divya, so far, where we are bringing in the voices of authors or anyone from the writing field with an intent of giving multiple narratives to our audience in a way that it inspires them and catapults them into just the action of writing. Okay, and that's the whole goal. So thank you for being here. Okay, there are many
Thank
aspects
you.
of who you are, and you have helped me in my journey of helping my authors as well to a greater extent. And I know, unfortunately, I did not bring very easygoing clients to you, and they have been
That's
one of the
good.
most difficult clients even in my journey. So I know, okay, and I think when people can stick through the thins, thicks are possible. Okay, so thank you for being that person and not giving up. But yes, thank you for being here today. All the links of where to connect with Divya, checking her book out, her Amazon book link, as well as her profile is there. Apart from just doing the work for the books or writing, there are many aspects to Divya which we haven't spoken about in this episode, and I'm hoping that I will bring her back on my other podcast to discuss those. But you can follow her to know more about her. Okay. Thank you so much
Right.
for today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Guys, I will see you in the next episode. Until then, remember, we all are born abundant. All we need to do is claim that abundance by taking one step at a time. Are you taking that step today? I leave you with that. See you soon.